Well, Philippians 4, just turn there. Let me just kind of give you a little running start. We've been looking at the cults, and we started, of course, with the Mormons, and went Jehovah's Witnesses, and then we went to Christian Science, and then went Unitarian Universalist, and as we can keep going, this one is, we're calling it Transcendental Meditation, sometimes called TM, sometimes the idea of yoga is put in there. In fact, a lot of times yoga is in there. In the United States, when Transcendental Meditation or Eastern Mysticism was brought to the United States, they know it would never fly by saying, let's study Eastern Mysticism and Hinduism, so they called it yoga, which had an idea of an exercise. And so we've been looking at that. We started that last time. Our goal, of course, is to be grounded in what we believe and be ready to give an answer. We always look at the background, the teaching, and how to witness. And we got a little background on this, the whole idea. I had all kind of sheets and things that we read last week, what people believe, and about the meditation, and how the articles from the Ocali, in which people talked about students ought to meditate, and showed a thing, an article from called New Thought Leaders, and talked a little bit about that. We'll quote one more of that today. I even showed you a thing from a health club that used to be in town. It's not longer in there, but it was the Hatha Yoga practice, and it talked about yoga, and it talked about it means union, and yoga practices the union with yourself and whatever you call the ultimate reality. As you know, what yoga really is, or transcendental meditation is you're trying to align yourself with the universe, because the universe is what's God, and you're God too, and everything's God, and everything's part of God, and all that sort of stuff. And we read that last time and went through this. It says, in the experience of being a human, a strong will united with the reverence and compassion enables us to achieve harmony with ourselves and with the world in which we live. It's a harmony, and that's what yoga is. A lot of people, of course, have just heard, oh, it's just an exercise, and it's just stretching and that kind of thing. But when you really get into it, it's an Eastern mysticism thing. I'm not saying that you can't do what some people call yoga, and it just be exercise only, and you be okay, because as a Christian, you may say, I'm just doing this exercise, but I'd be very careful. I mean, personally, I wouldn't even identify with it, but that's what some people do, but that's just me. I don't want to exercise anyway, period. So I just don't even get into that. I think the first slide is that it's transcendental meditation has sometimes been, go ahead and go through the slides there. I think there's one that we went through that. We're supposed to start, I think, there's a little sheet that, there it is. This transcendental meditation, yoga, it's been called a science. It's the science of how we relate to the world. It's a form of relaxation, or as you understand, it's some kind of exercise. It's a production technique that if you learn how to meditate correctly, it'll help yourself. It'll help you in as you relate to the world and others. It's used in schools, movie stars, sports stars, all that kind of stuff. The transcendental meditation, people say it's really not a religion. It's a form of relaxation, but it is a religion. The founder, and let me just remind you, the founder was Maharishi Mahavyogi. Founded around 1958. He called it the spiritual regeneration movement in India. It's really an idea of Eastern mysticism, Hinduism. He was an Indian holy man, a guru. He came to the United States around 1970, and he began to teach the idea of transcendental meditation or yoga. And the truth is, transcendental meditation is actually Hindu meditation. It's a technique that is used in Hinduism to unite, because remember what does yoga mean? It means to be in union. It is to unite with the Hindu gods. That was part of the plan, and so it's a form of that. Some say it's a relaxation, but it's actually one of the six major philosophical systems that follow this whole union of Eastern mysticism. As I said a while ago, when it came to the United States, did not call this religion. You can't say, I got a new religion for the United States, because that's not the way we are here. Now, people are more and more open to it now, and people are more open to religions, and people are turning away from what we'd call biblical Christianity. When we come back from Christmas and we really start talking about the whole idea of the New Age movement and some of the things with Oprah and Eckhart Tolle and L. Ron Hubbard and Dianetics and Scientology and all of these different things, they're all a spiritual aspect. And there's even thoughts today that people will write, they'll say, America is becoming more and more spiritual. Well, and at first people think that sounds good. Oh, yeah, we're real spiritual. But it's not Christianity they're being spiritual about. It's Eastern mysticism they're being spiritual about. It's L. Ron Hubbard and his novel. And it's Eckhart Tolle who says, let's see if we can breathe. You can breathe, I promise you. Unless you're dead, you're breathing, so you're okay. And so, I mean, the bottom line is there's a lot of weird stuff out there, and we'll really get into it as we get from Christmas we'll get more. The goal, of course, of this Eastern mysticism, yoga, this transcendental meditation, is they call it is a daily meditation on a source of creative intelligence within the individual. I'm just quoting some of their writings. That in transcendental meditation, everything goes within the individual. We tap our inner resources. We find our inner self. Let me read to you. This is some of the writings of Maharishi Mahesh Yoga. And it talks, and this is a person quoting what this man has written. He says, the Maharishi's view of God reflects a denial of the infinite personal God as revealed in the scripture. Now listen to what he says, because if you're not careful, when you hear something, you'll go, that okay? That sounds sort of okay. Listen to what he says. He writes, this is Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the founder of Transcendental Meditation, the New Thought aspect. God is found in two phases of reality. God is found in two phases of reality. As a supreme being of absolute eternal nature, as a personal God at the highest level of phenomenal creation. What? What did he say, right? What does this say? Okay? He is a supreme being of absolute eternal nature and as a personal God at the highest level of phenomenal creation. That almost sounds like he says there's a personal God. Doesn't it? Doesn't that what he almost sounds like? It almost sounds that. And so you go, okay, I don't know. But then he goes on to say, now here's what he says. The supreme being is identified with nature. Everything in creation is the manifestation. This is his writings. Everything in creation is the manifestation of the unmanifested, absolute, impersonal being of the omnipresent God. So what he says, God is what? It's the creation. It's pantheism. It's Eastern mysticism. Where at first you read it, you go, well, he says it's a personal God at the highest level. And then when you find out that he says, no, it's the creation, which is the absolute impersonal being. And then he says, the impersonal God is that being which dwells in the heart of every person. What does that make you?
Impersonal.
Well, it makes you what? God. If God dwells inside of every person, that makes every person what? God. That's what they're saying. They're saying that God is in every one of us because we're God, because the whole creation and everything is God. And that's part of his writings. Let me see if there's something else here. I do want, and I'll get to this later, but when we talk about Jesus, here's what he says about Jesus. He says, do not understand the life of Christ. No, he says, due to not understanding the life of Christ, and not understanding the message of Christ, he says, we just don't understand. Christ never suffered, or could he suffer? It is a pity that Christ is often talked about in terms of his suffering. Now, that's Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. He says, Christ didn't suffer. Christ was no different than you are because we're all Christ. We're all the Christ. Christ is in everything. Everything is Christ. The world is God. God is the world. Pantheism, everything. And so we're all just one thing. And we're going to see that this transcendental meditation, this yoga, this Eastern mysticism, which all is going to tie in to the New Age movement, which we'll see when we get back from Christmas, it all ties together. They all just look at us and say, yes, you're God. And many of you, of course, Shirley MacLaine is for the older ones of us, we know who Shirley MacLaine was, a movie star and everything, but she became famous when she got into all of this and discovered that she was God. And she said she stood out on the beach. And when she stood on the beach, it's the first time she realized that she was God. She's God. She began to shout out, I am God, I am God, I am God. And she says, people need to understand that we're all God. We're God. It's the same as Eckhart Tolle. What happens when you die and you're God? What happens to you? His first thought is, I try not to what? Try not to think about that. But what happens to you if you're God and everything is God and you die? What happens to you? You go into a part of this interpersonal, impersonal creation. You just become part of the creation. You might come back. Karma, reincarnation, that's all part of this stuff. You might come back. You might come back as something else. You might come back as a person. You might come back as an animal. We don't know if you ever come back, because you just might be just part of the impersonal God that there is. So as we started this last week, I just want you to see what some people buy into, and we're going to get more into it, especially with Oprah and Eckhart Tolle and all of those guys, that people are just the quote that J.J. brought the day that I was gone when Catherine had her surgery and everything, and I've got that same quote, and he and I were going to use it, and he just used it ahead of time. But anyway, it shows Christians reading Eckhart Tolle and going, this sounds okay. It sounds okay. It sounds like he's talking about Christ. And sometimes if you read Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, it sounds like he's talking about the personal God, but he's not. So you have to be very careful when you read some of these things. Why is transcendental meditation, why is yoga, I brought this out last week, why is it so successful in America? Because we live this fast-paced life where it's stress, we're always going fast as we can go, and this is an exercise, as we call it. This is a way to meditate. It's a way to slow down. Harold Bloomfield, who's a mediator and a psychiatrist, says that the transcendental program has no, now he's into, you know, transcendental meditation. He says it has no adverse side effects and can promote what pills can't do. It's really good for us. I told you that, I showed this last time. This came out of the Stillwater News Press. Reversal of aging. There's a possible, but you can reverse aging. Life in harmony with a natural law, and through that you can reverse your aging. Come to the lecture at Stillwater Public Library, Wednesday, June 7th, 7:30. These are techniques as taught by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Transcendental meditation techniques. That's an ad. Stillwater News Press. So you can reverse your aging. That's what they're teaching. Second thing, besides fast-paced life, we're in the me society anyway. Everything is, you know, we got to get in touch with ourselves. We got to get into our inner self. We got to find out what we're really like. Well, Jeremiah says the heart is what? Deceitful and wicked. And Paul says, in me, that is my flesh, dwells what? No good thing. You don't really want to look to the inside, okay? You want to look to your Savior. That's the key. And your identification is in Jesus Christ, not your fallen self. That's your identification, and that's how we should be looking. The third thing is there's no commitment or examination in transcendental meditation because there's not really sin. We don't deal with sin or right or wrong. Let me find this article. This is on the New Thought Leaders and what he says. New Thought Leaders, he says this, the push of the New Thought is not that you're a sinner. Our basic concept is that you are created of God, that you're not a sinner. And then he goes on to say, today we're looking for material and spiritual prosperity. And I think we have the message that is what we're looking for in life. And we can have a full life right now because we realize we're not sinners. We don't need to look at ourselves as sinners and needing a Savior. We just need to realize that we're really all part of this God thing anyway. And we're all in this together. Transcendental meditations, he says, the greatest need for people is to be happy. The Bible says the greatest need for people is to have a relationship with a living God because we're sinners and we need a Savior. The greatest need for us is to have a Savior and to have eternal life. In transcendental meditation, God is all and all is God. It's the same as the New Age movement. Transcendental meditation takes us to an altered state. That's one of the things that they don't tell you on the front end, but the more you get into it, you need to get to this altered state. What you need to do is learn how to meditate. Now, let me show you what meditation is. I'm not going to do Eckhart Tolle and go and just breathe for a little bit. Here's what meditation is. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Okay? Here's meditation. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, and if there's anything excellent and there is, and if there's anything worthy of praise and there is, dwell on these things. The word dwell means put your mind on these things. Think on these things. See, biblical meditation is taking the truths from the Bible, whatever's lovely and pure and great and good and worthy of praise and all that. Where would you find that? Where do you find what is right and good and lovely and praise? Where is that? It's in the Scripture. So he said, the Bible says basically you meditate on the Word. And we talked about the word meditation literally means to take a truth and look at it from all sides, is to think through it. Well, transcendental meditation is not taking the truth from the Scripture and thinking through it. Transcendental meditation is emptying your mind, usually then coming up with a name, a mantra, which is usually a name of a Hindu god, which they don't tell people that. And they say, just say this over and over again. And I read this to you last time. I'm looking at time. I think we'll be okay. But last time in this magazine called The Pathfinder, the Heartland's Resource for Conscious Living. And all the articles, A Happy New You, A Deeper Look at Astrology, Considering Divorce, how to have a good divorce. This is what that article's about. Native American Spirituality, tying in with nature, Connecting with What You Feel. And then his article that I mentioned last week, Meditation Techniques, and he talks about how do you do this. Proper breathing is important. Once you're properly seated and comfortable, take deep breaths for as long as you're comfortable, and then let it out slowly through your mouth. Visualize your body. And he goes, they're teaching people this, but the further you get into this, it's not exercise. It's sort of like we talked about in Mormonism. When you first talk to a Mormon, they'll say, we believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe he's the Son of God, and we believe this and this and this. But then you actually get into what Mormons believe, and it does not match at all. You hear this on the front end, and it says this is a relaxation technique. This is a way to meditate. This is a way to help you be healthier. And then when you get into it, you find out it's Eastern mysticism. It's a false religion. So you have to be very careful. Let's look at the comparisons. We'll go very quickly. First of all, the Bible. They don't use the Bible. So it's hard to say, how do they look at the Bible? They don't use the Bible because they'll claim it's not a religion, but it really is. It's Eastern mysticism. Since God is in each person, the revelation of God is in yourself. It's not in a book. It's what you think. It's what you think. We realize that transcendental meditation is based on Hinduism. So it's a natural contrast to Christianity. Second, what about Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus Christ is no different than anybody else. God is all there is. All is God, and God is all. In other words, it's pantheism. God's in everybody. God's not personal. God is the creation. You're part of the creation. We're all together in this thing. The Bible teaches that God is personal. He's a personal being. He's not part of his creation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's not part of the creation. He is the creator. That's why people have to be real careful when they say he's the heir that I breathe. He is not the air that you breathe. He created the air that you breathe. He is not part of this creation. He is separate of his creation. So don't make God the creation. That's Eastern mysticism and pantheism. God is not part of the creation. He is separate from his creation. He is the creator. They would say in transcendental meditation that man is God and God is in man. It's the divine nature in every person. And yoga is the science of being and the art of living. Each individual in his true nature is the impersonal God. Everything is God. Man is God, is what they say. It's not true. We're all sinners in need of Savior. As far as Jesus Christ, many of them would say that all religions are just branches, that Jesus was a master teacher in the same way that Buddha and Krista are master teachers. So don't you understand that? They might even say, oh, Jesus, yes, yes. Oh, very insightful. Great teacher. Great master teacher. So was Buddha in their minds. So was Hare Krishna. I mean, so all of that. So you can't. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And this God, Jesus Christ, has revealed the glory of the Father. And Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Colossians says, in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead dwells. And so the bottom line is Jesus is not just a teacher and some master teacher. He is the eternal Son of God. The third thing is the salvation aspect. And the goal is happiness. The goal is happiness. Transcendental meditation teaches happiness, that sin is never considered because sin is not an issue. You don't need to be saved from anything. You just need to be happy. You need to come to a realization of who you are. The goal is to be in touch with the creation and yourself because you're part of the creation. The whole everything is part of the creation. But the Bible says that we are sinners and we need a Savior and that there is salvation. And in transcendental meditation, there's no accountability of personal God. They have now, this is going to sound a little bit weird, because in their system, there is an aspect of a sowing and a reaping. It's actually called karma, as you know, good karma, bad karma. You do something good now, and when you come back, you might come back what? In a better situation than you are now. If you do some bad things now, bad karma, you may come back in a worse situation, maybe as an animal, maybe as a bug. I mean, you ever wonder why some parts of the world don't kill certain animals? Because they think that they're people who have come back. That's what they think. You understand that? People starving to death, but you can't eat that cow over there because it could be Uncle John, right? Who had some bad karma, man. You know. Question, comment? Okay, so if you do nothing in your life, you could come back as a chair. Can you imagine what people sitting on you all the time as a chair? So, do what? It's according to who it is, I guess. Amen. Anyway, but the bottom line is the Bible does teach in a sowing and reaping aspect. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. You sow of the flesh, you reap corruption. You sow with the Spirit, you reap life. Now, the Bible, there is an account. It's always, as people always want to say, what goes around comes around. Well, the biblical truth is there is a sowing and reaping. But it's not karma. It's not this thing. Sin is wrong. We need a Savior. They have a realization of God in this way. Here's what they say. They say God is realized in this transcendental meditation because it's a way of knowledge. It's a meditation-focused inward. It's a way of worship, which is conduct, which is Eastern mysticism. It's a way of devotion. We choose special names to say over and over. This is what they do. This is the God realization. It's through our knowledge, it's through our worship, and through our devotion. Transcendental meditation is a path to finding God who is in you. That's what they say. From matter to mind, from mind to supermind, supermind to union with the divine. Now, let me say that again. From matter to your mind. From your mind to supermind, which is your new thought, your new thinking, your new breathing, your new seeing yourself. And from your supermind, you reach union with the divine who's in you. Who's in you. But the Bible says it's faith alone and Christ alone to have an eternal relationship. And I don't think we have. Do we have a slide on this one? Yeah, it's not knowledge in that sense, because the Bible says knowledge by itself puffs up, and it's not our works because it's a gift, and it's not our devotion. And we're not talking about it. They're talking about a devotion to a particular name or something. It is our true devotion to the living God. There is no heaven or hell. There's an aspect of reincarnation. There's a union. I mean, the bottom line, if everything went fine, you would just, in a sense, be absorbed into the deity, which is all creation. Sounds like a great way to go, doesn't it? You just kind of... You are the air that somebody breathes, right? In summary, the Bible is not used because there's no personal God or personal revelation in that way. It's your own revelation that Jesus Christ is just a master teacher, where we'd say he's the way, the truth, and the life. And they'd say salvation is happiness by your knowledge, works, and devotion. We would say salvation is a gift by grace you've been saved through faith. How do you witness to this? How do you deal with these things? Well, define meditation, because they'll quickly talk about meditation and they'll say the Bible says to meditate. And you take them to Philippians 4:8 to show them what meditation actually is. Show them that it's not clearing your mind. It is putting the Word of God in your mind. Okay, so make sure they understand that. Second, it emphasize there's a personal God. Say God's not personal. God is the universe. But emphasize there is a personal God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not a force. It's not Star Wars. Star Wars is nothing but Eastern mysticism. The force, I mean, we all know that. When y'all saw the movie and you know the force is with you and there's a good force and the bad force, that's just Eastern mysticism. That's all it is. It's a religion. There was a religion taught through Star Wars. Good movies, fun. You know, fun to watch Luke Skywalker and all of that. But let me tell you, it's Eastern mysticism. I mean, there is a force in this universe. And there's a good force. Obi-Wan Kenobi got that. And there's a bad force. Got that, right? That's what he did. May the force be what? With you. And you get the good force, you're using the good force, you're using the bad force. That's what Eastern mysticism is. That's what all this really is. There is a personal God. And the faith, there's this knowledge, devotion, this. We look at the scripture and it's just faith alone and Christ alone. It did it all. So, was that the second bell, by the way? It was. Okay. So, we want to be ready. Now, I'm going to stop. And what we'll do is next time, we're going to continue. It's going to be sort of the same vein, but it's going to be some different things. We're going to talk about Oprah and Eckhart Tolle and Tom Cruise. And we're going to talk about Dianetics and L. Ron Hubbard. And we're going to look at a bunch of different things because there is so much there. In fact, there's books, Embrace the Light, The New Earth, The Power of Now, Saved by the Light. There's out-of-body experiences. There's a one-world government, one-world religion. You understand that even the New Age movement wants a one-world government. That's the ultimate plan of all that. They're so diverse, and yet it all comes together. I just want to quote Norman Geisler. Norman Geisler was one of my professors at Dallas Seminary. He's a great thinker, and he says this. He says, Western society experiences a shift from atheism to pantheism. See, for a while, the society rejected God, and they said, we don't believe God. But now what they've done is they've moved to pantheistic orientation. The difference is an atheist claims there is no God, while the pantheist says God is in everything. And that's what we're seeing. And it's in religion, it's in entertainment, it's in music, it's in schools, it's in business, it's in everything. I'm going to read you about a woman by the name of J.Z. Knight. We'll read it next time. And she's a channeler for like a 2,000-year-old holy person that she... People pay her to sit there, and then she starts getting a different voice, and this now, a 2,000-year-old holy man speaks through her now, so people come up to her, pay her money, and ask her questions, and this holy man who has lived 2,000 years ago that she's the channeler for, she tells them information. I can change my voice and do that too and make money, right? Can't we? I mean, you could do it, right? And so it's just a matter of... You know, when you reject Jesus Christ, you will believe anything. And that's what we're saying. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great morning. Help us, Lord, as we continue to study the cults, especially now the New Age and the Transcendental Meditation and all of these things. Help us to be ready because we know we're in a society that is moving to spiritual things but not biblical Christianity. So help us, Lord, to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.